Hello, listeners of Siouxland Catholic Radio, and welcome to another edition of Faith in Action. I'm Joanne Fox. I'm a Siouxland Catholic Radio board member, and I'm your host for today's show, and I am so glad you took time out of your busy schedule to set your dial to 88.1 FM and experience the great news that we share on this radio show. So we do have an exciting, somewhat time-sensitive event to talk about, and I'm so tickled to welcome my guest, longtime buddy, Julie Storr, and she is going to talk about an event that's coming up on Saturday, September 25th, so that gives you enough time to go get a piece of paper, pencil, pen, whip out your smartphone, and put it in your calendar. Saturday, September 25th is a Magnificat, that is the Northwest Iowa chapter, and they are bringing Father Ryan Browning, and he is a priest of the Diocese of Rockford, Illinois, to the Cathedral of the Epiphany. It is an all-day event. It goes 8:30 a.m. to 3:30 p.m. But again, we'll talk about that much more. But first, I want to welcome to my program, Julie, and thanks so much for joining me today, Julie. I really appreciate it.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
Oh, good. That's because we have this very special mutual admiration society going on between the two of us.
That's right.
So, Julie, why don't you tell the listeners a little bit about yourself and, you know, where you grew up and where you live in the Diocese of Sioux City, and then we can segue into your faith journey.
Okay. I am a native of Platte, South Dakota, a town, and now I live in Pocahontas. So the town I'm from is actually smaller than the town where I live now. My husband, Pat, and I have been married since 1987. We have two grown sons, and we're members here at Pocahontas at Resurrection of Our Lord Catholic Church.
Okay. And so tell us a little bit about your faith journey.
I'm a convert. I was one of those converts who was never, ever going to be Catholic. So I'm sure that I was looking back, there was this great quote, and it says, I don't remember who said it, but they talked about the Apostle Paul, how he looks back at his life, and from where he was, he couldn't believe that one day, long ago, he was Saul, at how much his life has changed. And that's really how my faith journey has kind of been for me. I had no idea of the depth of a relationship with Christ that I would ever be able to find in the Catholic Church. So it's been a fun journey. Just so grateful every day for the faith that God has given me.
I'm just curious, Julie, were you raised like in a Protestant faith, or some families have really no faith whatsoever?
We were raised in a Protestant church, and it was one of the Dutch Reformed. We were raised in the First Reformed Church. And when I was little, I remember we would go to church Sunday morning, we would go to church Sunday night, and we had catechism classes on Wednesday. So Sunday morning, Sunday school, Sunday night, and Wednesday, we were at church. So I've known for a long time that the Christian life is actually about your relationship with God. And I've known that my whole life. I just didn't know that that was possible in the Catholic Church.
Well, was there a defining moment, you know, an epiphany, or like Saul knocked off of the horse and blinded by the light for you?
I think there was, and that would have been the birth of my second son. He was 6 weeks early, and he was born on Christmas Eve. And because he was early, we ended up needing to go to St. Luke's in Sioux City. They had a neonatal intensive care unit at that time. And at that time, I still had no intention on being Catholic. But when I checked into the hospital that day, my doctor from Storm Lake sent me right into Sioux City. I just checked that I was Catholic, and that was because my husband was Catholic. So, and I knew that he would be busy with a three-year-old at home. So if they happened to come with communion, when he's there, he could receive communion. And honestly, I had 20 minutes to check myself into the hospital. I checked myself in while my husband parked the car. And I had forgotten that I wrote that down. Our son was born. Indeed, he was in intensive care. He was on a vent and all of the tubes and wires and everything, and I couldn't hold him. And I don't even remember the day it was, but it must have been a Sunday, when a Eucharistic minister from Sioux City came to my room, and she asked about me, and I had remembered that I wrote down that I was Catholic. So I explained that to her. Then she asked how I was. And, you know, I was doing okay, but how is the baby? And I said, he's very sick. I haven't held him yet. And she began to cry. And she said, have you had family come? And I said, I haven't. Because we're so far away from everyone, no one's been here. And she was crying. And then I started crying. And she said, can I pray with you? And I said, yes, because no one had offered to do that yet. So she put her arms around me and prayed with me. And something changed. We were only in intensive care a very short time after that. And we got to go home. Once we were all healed, we went to Mass because my husband was, I was fine with going to Mass, and I knew that we would raise our kids Catholic, so I went anyway because there wasn't anything funky and there was, you know, no weird languages and nobody was worshiping statues. And so I went anyway. And so we went back to Mass, and I found that everybody else would go to communion, but I would be sitting in the pew bawling. And I don't mean just like sniffling, I mean bawling. And then my husband prodded me and said, maybe it's time that you talk to Father. So I talked to the priest and ended up joining the church and have never regretted it.
So how long ago was that? A lot of times we lose kind of an idea of how many years have gone by, but we like you said, it was the birth of my son. Then I can kind of remember a year and how many years. How many years ago
was
that, Julie?
That was, he was born Christmas Eve of 1997. And I joined the church in April of 1999.
You know, it's really a remarkable story of the Holy Spirit working in a very unusual way through another individual. Mm-hmm. And I guess I would ask you, you know, because you were married to your husband, Pat, and he's Catholic, there was never kind of an idea of, you know, maybe what he has in his faith life might help me in my faith life, you know, in those early years of marriage?
No, not really. I mean, because I would go to church on occasion because it's so funny because sometimes Protestants get this thought of Catholics have to go to Mass. You know, that's a requirement. And now I know that some Catholics do have to go to Mass, but I want to go, right?
Right.
So, what he was doing at that time was he was always faithful to going to Mass, and I didn't really recognize that at the time, how much of an example that was for me.
Okay. All right. That now makes a little more sense. And again, a lot of times our Lord doesn't knock us off the horse like he did for Saul, but
right.
plants those seeds over a period of time where they
right.
start to nourish and suddenly grow and sprout.
Right.
And I'm sure your husband was probably thrilled beyond words that you had decided to join the Catholic Church. But as I know in my, and the listeners know, in my decades upon decades upon decades of interviewing people about converting to the Catholic faith or even reverting to their Catholic faith, not everybody is out in the parking lot doing the dance of joy, thinking,
right.
wow, that's really great that Julie's joining the Catholic faith. Did you have individuals who weren't out there, you know, supportive of you?
I think it's hard when you're a convert. It's hard for Protestant families to understand. And sometimes, and I honestly, it has to be the Holy Spirit, because I'm not sure what came over me when I joined the church, because it was like I'm a sponge. I can't stop learning. I read all the time. I read two or three books at a time, and it's still that way. So just, you know, having that, not even a wall or a division, but just kind of having that edge there as to why would you do that? I would never be able to do that. But yet, in your heart, you know what's right and what you need to do.
Okay, well, that's good to hear, because sometimes extended family members almost shun individuals who make that decision, sadly. Not all the time, too. Listeners know that as well.
Mm-hmm.
So it sounds like your transition was fairly smooth.
It was.
Good to hear.
Yep.
So I mentioned at the beginning of the program the Magnificat chapter for the Diocese of Sioux City. And there may be listeners who, you know, recognize the word Magnificat, but maybe have absolutely no idea of what that is. So, Julie, maybe give us a little bit of a background on the Magnificat chapter.
Okay, let's start with the Magnificat ministry, because our chapter is only part of a worldwide ministry. And that history starts in 1981 in the Archdiocese of New Orleans. There were a group of ladies who decided they wanted to get together to pray. At that time, there was a movement for Protestant women, but they wanted to do something that would involve their Catholic faith. So they put together a brunch on that day, October 7, 1981, and Magnificat has been meeting ever since. And what is special about Magnificat is it's not just a teaching. Excuse me. When we have a speaker come to Magnificat, they share their testimony. And it's always amazing to know how God is working in someone's life. Because when those graces from that testimony, when they share that, those graces are available to us as we hear. So that's what's amazing about Magnificat. We sing, we pray, we have a meal together, but we're open to the grace that God and the Holy Spirit wants to give us.
And even the word Magnificat has very specific kind of a definition and a background as well.
Yep. Yep. Magnificat is Mary's yes. How my soul magnifies the Lord. And Magnificat is like another visitation. It's another opportunity for Mary and Elizabeth, for Mary and the woman next to you at the table, to be Mary and Elizabeth, to be together, to pray together, and to worship and glorify God.
How did you become aware of this ministry?
Ooh, many years ago, we had a speaker come to the diocese, and I was the one that got to drive her around. And it was a Sunday morning, and I stayed at a friend's house in Sioux City because I needed to stay overnight. She had a bedroom I could share, or have. And I had EWTN radio on, and I was listening to a testimony by a speaker and was just amazed at what I heard, how this woman, where she had been and what God had done for her and where she was now. And I was so amazed. And it was a radio show then called Magnificat Proclaimed. And I was just so moved. I called a friend of mine and said, we've got to look this up because this is incredible what I just heard. And that website was magnificat-ministry.net. And we prayed about it. We talked about it. We listened some more. And then wondered if that's something that the Holy Spirit was calling for us to bring to the diocese.
And you know what, listeners? I think I hear the Holy Spirit calling me as well, because it's that time in the program where we give a shout-out to our supporters, our underwriters, and we do some public service announcements. So we are going to just step away from this interview for a moment. So we just want you to stay tuned, because we will be right back.